So I remember the days of me answering all the calls, returning all the emails, seeing everybody, being the admin and the practitioner. And when you're in practice by yourself, that's all you got, just yourself, right? As you're growing and you're scaling to bring other people on. And one thing that I always found so challenging was rescheduling people. And it starts to add up the more people that you have. So one thing that has saved us a ton of time recently and really increased our conversion percentages online to new patients is making the switch over to PT Everywhere for my local practice, Athletes Potential. We actually saw our new patients that were booking online numbers double in the time that we've actually implemented utilizing their platform. And the reason why, it's so much easier to book online. Many times people have to create accounts and it's difficult for them to actually save an appointment. And as we switched over, what we saw was these numbers jumped for us and we got more people online, which saved our administrative resources. It allowed them to pick a time that worked for them. And overall, it's been a very seamless transition. So if you're looking to leverage a platform to help get some of your time back, I would recommend PT Everywhere. It'll save you a ton of time on the admin side and help get more people in the door. Head over to pteverywhere.com and check out their platform and how it can help you.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
Dr. Danny here with Eve GG. We switched the time up a little bit on you. Same day, same great content. Yeah, it's not daylight savings time. We're an hour different than what we normally do. It's 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. This is when we're going to do our live streams. We're going to talk about what we're seeing in the profession, as well as we're going to get a lot more people on to share their story. We have a super cool conversation we're going to have next week with Courtney Morris, who is one of our coaches, started his cash practice in a hair salon and used to drive a Schwann truck, a frozen food delivery truck, for like, I think, 6 years. So interesting guy, crushing it in Wichita, Kansas, which is not a massive market by any means. And we're seeing that across the board. People are able to, do really well in these smaller to mid-size markets. And today, Eve and I are talking about the top two reasons why we see people leaving their, in a full-time position and starting their own cash practice, which is, it's funny, man. I think back to 2014, so next month, June of 2014, that's the month that we started Athletes Potential. And there was one other person in Atlanta that I knew of that was running a cash practice. There's many, many more now, by the way, but was there anybody in Charleston that was doing it when you opened yours?
Yeah, there was one, and she had actually bought the practice from somebody else. And I had a conversation with her beforehand. They had been doing it for years. It was like probably one of the first, I think, to ever do it. It was just kind of like totally out of the box. But
wow.
Beyond that, no, there was nobody doing it kind of like from this performance-based kind of, gym setting, CrossFit, kind of like what's so commonplace now.
Yeah. The one that was here whenever I opened up was in a gym. It was actually, and I actually didn't know, I didn't know her, but we got connected and we went up meeting up whenever I did move here. And I was like, oh, there's two of us, So there's like 6 million people. That's three for each of us. So it was a lot of folks. And now, and maybe this is, we'll get to these two, but one thing I will say that has been interesting is, we open our practice on one side of Atlanta. We moved to the other side to build a standalone space. At the time, we were the only ones within probably like a 5 or 6 mile radius, like full on radius of where the kind of area of Atlanta where our office is. And I counted the other day, and I want to say there's at least a dozen within a 5 mile radius of where we're at as well. But our business is thriving. I don't know. I've assumed theirs are going well as also. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be around still. And so we have this idea of somebody's already doing this here or whatever. But like, there's so many people. I think we completely underestimate just how many people there are that need our help. And we look at this in this finite term of like, oh, well, there's only so many people that are looking for this type of service. That's true. But the real mass of people are the people that have a problem, but don't even know that you exist. They don't even know that you could solve it. You know?
No, 100%. I think people want it to be like you're in college and there's like one large pizza and there's like eight of you and like you have to get your slice. And once the pizza is gone, it's gone. And it's like, no, like literally we're continuously baking more pizzas. You know what I mean? More in the oven and you can do it that way. And that's usually how people are doing it. We're just literally, you know, growing the size of the pie. Right. And right. That is, it's pretty infinite. Like, you know, we'll call it market saturation for PT and musculoskeletal issues. We're at like, I think the last data I saw was like 3% of market potential, you know, that's it. Physical therapists take care of. So I think we're good, you know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I should think the same thing. I think this is a really common belief is just like, well, there's only so many people that are hurt that you could work with, right? Like there's an extraordinary amount of people that are injured, not necessarily hurt so bad that they need to go, you know, get surgery or something like that. But the vast majority of people walk around in pain or have limitations every single day. You know, even I have a new training partner. He's actually my neighbor. He lives down the street from me, but he was a military for about 10 years. He's got some pretty serious injuries from it. And, you know, and he was at like a pretty high level military group before he got out. And even some of the stuff that he's telling me that he was told not to do, or that he hadn't tried or whatever, is like, it's shocking to me just how much bad information there still is that exists, even in our own profession. So I think that like, there's plenty of people, like, obviously this guy's a bit of an extreme example, but like plenty of people that are literally avoiding things because their knee hurts every day, or they're, you know, they're really apprehensive about throwing their back out or whatever that means again. So they just don't do certain things versus understanding that there's people like us that can actually help them do that. So it's cool because it gives us an opportunity to become better marketers to then get more of these people in the office. And, you know, there's many, many, many people we can all work with. So I think the pie has to get big. The pie is bigger than we even know. So it's not like a matter of making the pie bigger. The pie is huge. We just think it's really small and there's like a finite number of pieces of pizza. I totally get that. There was one pizza for me and my friends in college. It was like basically a wrestling match.
Yep. Who can get to it first? Who's going to answer the door and grab one, right?
Right. Or your one friend just licks every piece and is like, dude, why'd you do that?
That's Jack would do for sure.
Oh, dude, 100%. My son would be, he would lick every piece and then no one would eat it. But all right, let's do this. Let's get into the top two reasons we're seeing people start practices. And you alluded to this in the post that you put up. And I think the number one thing that we'll start with is the fact that people are getting frustrated that they're not able to use their clinical skill set that they've worked so hard to cultivate and develop and improve the way that actually deserves to be used. Like they're limited in their ability to effectively work with people. And this is hands down the number one reason why I started my practice. This is absolutely like, this is 95% of why I did it. And I think for a lot of people, they spend all this time going through school and then maybe they do a residency or a fellowship, or they do a lot of mentorship work and they do a lot of self work and go to a bunch of con ed courses and they're reading and they're learning and they're pushing what, you know, what they're able to do. And then you get put into an environment where you've got 20 people to work with in the day and you just can't really do much with that, right? You're just sort of managing it. It turns into cookbook medicine, in my opinion. It's like, oh, everybody with a rotator cuff issue does this, right? Everybody with anterior knee pain does this. And not to say that there's not overlap, but there's also like no room for individualization in a lot of ways when your volume is just so high.
Yeah. I mean, there's clinics out there and I've been a part of them where they actually do that on purpose because the quality of care is actually potentially better in that kind of setting if everybody's kind of doing the same thing and it's more scalable, sure. Right? Like think about that. Think about from a clinical standpoint, if you're giving everybody the same exact routine, no matter who they are, what their goals are, what they're going through, you're just going to give them the same routine, right? So like most people will enter that kind of scenario and will very, very quickly get bored get frustrated, right? Because I'm talking to more students now. I'm really trying to actively do this. And they're excited, man. Like, they're pumped. Like, they went to the profession. They usually got this incredible personal story of how they got injured, you know, and PT helped them, or they're excited to, like, you know, use their, you know, movement mindset and, like, work with athletes. And then they just come out and they get crushed, you know, like, we're eating our young is, like, never becoming more prevalent than right now.
Yeah. And it is frustrating because I do think that, the vast majority of newer graduates are super motivated, right? Like, they're just like, they've been pent up in this school environment for years, and they've got some exposure to, you know, whatever clinics that they did the rotations at, but they're just like, I'm ready to go. Like, get me out in the world and let me do my thing. And not to say that everybody is like, you know, has more of a performance movement driven mindset to what they want to do. I think we're actually somewhat of a small subset of the actual profession, but you take people like that, you know, like yourself and myself and the vast majority of people that we work with, and you put them in a population where it's like high volume of personal injury, work comp, Medicare. And I know it's very, very frustrating because you start to second guess. Like, I think for most people that fall into this category in particular, they look at what they do as like, it's like their thing. It's like their art. It's the thing they want to be the best in the world. I remember meeting this guy that used to be a coder that switched careers, and he was a blacksmith. Like, I didn't even know these existed anymore, but he built wrought iron fences. And I saw him for like an elbow problem, 'cause he's like, you know, he's a blacksmith. He's like hitting iron all day. Right. And I was just so fascinated with this guy though, because he was like, dude, like, you can do this and this. And he's showing me pictures of like the things that he's doing. And I'm like, this is what this guy does for a living, but this is this guy's life. Like, he is obsessed with being a blacksmith, right? He identifies with it. He left a career where he's making more money to do this because it's his passion, and he's happier doing it. What's so unique, I think, with our profession is we can be very fulfilled by helping people get out of pain and back to the things they like. And we can do that in a way where, you know, we can have a profession that pays us well, that we have a lot of personal reward from. And we're not on these crazy call schedules like most medical providers. My brother, dude, he's a 24-hour schedules is what he works. His wife, you know, swing schedules, 12 hours, day, night, whatever. That's a hard life, man. Like we can bitch and complain about a lot of stuff as our profession, but the reality is, like, we have it easy. There's a reason why I chose this profession instead of some of the other, you know, medical-based professions, because I wanted to have more balance. So, you know, with that, I think what gets really frustrating is you say to yourself, all right, I'm going to commit to being the best person that I could be, the best clinician I could be. I'm going to try to get everybody better. I'm going to try to do the best thing for everybody. And you have people that start to come in and you don't know if they actually want to get better. And that starts to really wear at you when you're like, man, am I not good at this? Like, am I missing something? Or does this person just not care to improve because they're going through a lawsuit or they're, you know, whatever it might be. And that's the truth with people. That really is. It's not like the vast majority of people, but it's enough to where it can really start to frustrate you. So I think for a lot of people like that, they start to put all this effort towards becoming great at something, and the population doesn't match their desire to be great, to give them the opportunity to do so by being compliant and doing the things that they want to do, because it doesn't match what their goals might be, you know? And I think that drives a lot of people away from traditional models.
I completely agree, right? It would be like a five-star chef, right? Who puts, you know, all this intricate time and effort into like making this amazing meal, right? And the person's like, oh, I could, you know, I'm just cool just eating some peanuts, or like, I'm cool just going to McDonald's, right? It's basically the same for me, right? Like, you know, we have these passionate clinicians, and I really think we do. Like, I haven't met a ton of PTs that aren't super passionate. Like, it's a pretty high barrier to entry to get into like PT school, finish PT school, become a PT, right? So like, you're probably really, really care about your profession, right? And it's also, which I think is really cool about our profession, it's not as, like, I think, and this is more subjective, right? But like, I think people get into like the medical professions or doctors and lawyers because of the kind of profession it is. Like, I just want to be a lawyer so I can say I'm a lawyer. Not many people go to a PT school and be like, I want to tell people I'm a PT, right? Like, you know, so like, they get in here because they care about it. And you're right, they get frustrated. I mean, I saw this firsthand, right? So we just hired an amazing PT named Rachel, and she worked at a specific kind of, you know, bigger chain practice. As a new grad, got there, had a PTA and an admin helping. And within 3 months, with zero support, they pulled the PTA, they pulled the admin, and literally never gave any clinical or support whatsoever. Like, think about doing that to somebody.
She didn't have an admin? She's like checking people in and out. She's doing everything herself, like in a high volume clinic?
Everything.
Wow.
Think about that, right? Like, you know, and I'm in a way, I'm grateful. Now I've got this absolute passionate clinician that loves what she's doing every day. She's in a CrossFit gym and has exceeded my expectations within, she started really in February and like has built almost to a full schedule at almost 3 months, right? So like, wow, right? So like, I got a rock star, thank you, right? But still very, very frustrating for the clinician. And that's why we're so passionate about this, right? Like that's not okay. In no world, like it's a real life example. Is that okay? And that's like, what is that? One of like thousands, tens of thousands of people who are experiencing some version of the same thing.
Yeah, no, that's that's pretty intense. I think that, what do you do in a situation, right? Like that, right? And it's not okay. That's not okay for people to do that, period. Right. It's just not. And I guess in some ways what's happening is people like her are getting frustrated and they see, like, I think for you and I, and anybody that's listening to this, that has the ability to grow past themselves or desire to grow past themselves in their business, I always look at it as an opportunity to save like a peer from these kind of really, you know, poor work environments that they find themselves in, where they start to wonder if they made the right career choice. They start to look at these non-clinical positions, things outside of the profession. And it's not that they dislike the profession, it's they dislike the context in which they have to function, you know, within their job environment. And something like that is like a really kind of extreme example of somebody that's getting, you know, just taken advantage of. And ironically, it's the youngest PTs, because they can pay them the least amount. They don't really understand their worth. You know, they don't really have much of another choice. Like, they're just looking for a job, you know, somewhere. And it kind of, it leads to that. Right. So, but for a lot of people that maybe can't find like a clinic, like you, your clinic or my clinic or whatever, they start to wonder like, all right, well, what does it look like if I want to do something on my own? And I think this is where, you know, the wheels start to turn, where they're like, okay, well, what would that look like? Who's doing stuff like this? Is there anything that exists out there? And, you know, for me, shout out to him, Jared Carter's the first person that I heard talking about this and his podcast, because I didn't really know. Well, I knew Kelly Starrett was doing it, but Kelly Starrett is an alien compared to me in terms of his ability to get people to come in and work with him. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe somebody like that could do it, but is anybody going to come and see me, you know, in Atlanta? Atlanta is not San Francisco. Like, it's not the same demographic. There's not as much money here as there is in San Francisco. So I was very close-minded. I was like, maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But, you know, starting to kind of get interested and gain information. And I know for me, like, I remember I made $78,000 was my salary the last year that I was in the Army. This is 2014 when I got out. Right. So, all that I did was look at, okay, how many people do I need to see? I was charging $175 a visit. How many people do I have to see in order to, what I needed to make was like $100,000, because I had to pay for insurance and all these other benefits that were associated with that. But it really wasn't like an astounding number of people, you know? And I started to gain a little bit of confidence with that. And if, like, literally, if all I could do is do that, and I just create another job for myself, but I got to work with people the way that I felt like I would best use my skill set, and I could educate them and build a relationship, I've been totally happy. It was like totally cool to do that. And, you know, and it really had nothing to do with money. I just wanted to make a lateral transfer. Like, and I think for a lot of people, money's not the biggest driver. It's frustration with them not being able to work with people the way that they want. And that starts, I think that really starts to, you know, fester, and it gets worse and worse. And then you get more frustrated. And at a certain point, you just can't take it anymore. And then they end up, you know, trying to figure out how to make it work on their own.
It's pretty funny. That's exactly how things started for me, right? I mean, a little bit different, right? I was in a private insurance practice got extremely frustrated, just like you. And I did the math. Right? Like, and I had the same plans. It's like, I just wanted to see 10 to 15 people. I was charging 125. You told me I was going to charge 80, and you convinced me, remember, to do 125.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
No, you could charge $80. Like, just so funny, right? 5 years ago. and best decision ever. So that math's a lot better at 125, by the way, right? So I really only needed 10 or 15 people. Like, I had a pretty, small lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't need a ton. And I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to hang out with my kids. I'm going to work out a lot. And it just seems so darn doable, right? And like, the pain of me staying where I was exceeded the pain, right, that would have been for me to go start something new, which I never thought I would start something brand new. I never thought I would definitely go cash of something that I'd never heard of. Like, you were one of the first people I'd ever even heard of doing something like that. Did it for like a day. Right. But like, yeah, that's what we're seeing. Like, I do all right. The onboard calls, we talk to a lot of new clinicians, and the story is almost always the same. It's that they do it out of frustration. They don't do it because, like, I want this giant cash practice so I can make all this money. It's, I don't think ever been that case. We almost have to convince them. Right. Cause we go through the step ladder, right. We're working on, like, what does a 3-year plan look like? Like, they become a good clinician. That's pretty easy. And then we have to convince them to become a good business owner. We have to convince them to scale beyond themselves, or they're going to burn out. Right. So it's like, it's just funny how this stuff is working out. Right. And people, all they want to do is they want to see the people that they want to see in an environment where they feel like they can best use their clinical skills. We truly believe that this is the way to do it. Right. For our certain demographic of people.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that's interesting too is, if you want to just get to the point where you just replace your job or close to it, and you're really, like, honestly a really good clinician, and you constantly are trying to improve, and you have a really good service, you can do that. It may take you some time to build to the point where you are able to replace your schedule if you have no sort of skill set in sales and marketing, but, you know, it's just a matter of time before people start to really be more aware of you, and you're able to replace your income, which for me, I just did the rough math on it. So if I was going to make $100,000 at 175, which is where we're at, I would need to see 47 people per month, right? So that's, you know, what, 12 people a week roughly. And that's not a ton. You know, most people see more than that in a day. So, you know, 12 visits a week is where you kind of need to be at that price point. So, you know, if you're super passionate about what you're doing and you're educating people and you're getting results, that's paramount. Like, that's key. You can't skip that, right? But like, nobody we work with is trying to skip that. Like, they're That's why it's so fun and so interesting for us, because I don't think I've ever asked somebody, like, are you even good at this? Like, because if you weren't good, you wouldn't have the confidence to, you know, think that you could go out on your own. Yeah. You know, so and a lot of people we talk to, it's like, okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, 0, you're awful, 10, you're like the greatest clinician in the world. Where are you on that spectrum? Most people, self-stated, would be somewhere between 8 and 9. So they're solid. And when I ask them the same thing on the business side, I'm like, all right, 0, 0, you're awful. 10, you're like, you know, Steve Jobs. Where are you at on that scale, right? And they're usually like, I'm like a 3, right? So when we look at the linchpin for them in this scenario, it's that they don't understand the business side. So when we're able to stack that on with them, this is why we have so many damn, you know, social proof examples of people that are just, you know, growing these practices, is because they have a great service. Then they stack on something that's repeatable, something that's you know, proven in business at this point and close to 1,000 practices. So, you know, I think that if you understand that if you're trying to be the best in your area, at least the best in your state, the best in the country, the best in the world, wherever you want to be, that in its own right is going to help you make more money. It's the foundation of all of it. And the frustration that most people also, you know, kind of lead to, aside from the fact that they're not using their skill set the way they want, is they're not able to make $100,000. This is the second biggest thing that we see, is that they can't make $100,000 as a PT unless they are a clinic director, seeing a lot of volume, and managing the clinic. If they are working, you know, home health, like travel jobs, PRN, SNF units, stuff like that, the things that people just don't want to do, they're going to pay you more in order to do those, because there's less people that actually want to do it. Right. So, And I think that the people deserve, I think clinicians deserve to make $100,000. I think what they don't realize is in these high volume clinics, just how much money they're generating for the actual practice typically, you know, and you ran one of these. So if you look at it, like a clinician, if you even remember back in the day, like how much gross revenue were they actually generating for the practice, you know, in comparison to what they were making?
So, I mean, it depends what kind of clinic you're in, right? If you're one of those high volume clinics and you're seeing 20-ish people a day, I mean, you can just average some of it out, right? And just say, it's okay, let's on average of $100 a visit, right? And just like what you're getting paid, what percentage of just the revenue bought in. And of course there are expenses and there's, you know, billing and stuff like that. But right, but like, just, I mean, our tiny little clinic was like, you know, billing out over $1 million a year, right? And we had maybe 2-3 PTs kind of tops. You can imagine the massive amount of revenue that's going out there, right? And I don't think like you said, they don't deserve something like that. It's total bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, so it comes down to this, like even my brother-in-law worked with this huge consulting firm, right? He recently just took another job. And you know, he was billing, I think it was like $400 something per hour. And you know, so he calculated, he was like, oh man, I like billed like close to $1 million by himself for this consulting firm. Right. And what he got paid was obviously a fraction of that, like a small fraction of that in comparison to what we look at, which is really, you know, efficiently being able to work with service-based employees. You have to pay them the right amount. If you go too high, you cannibalize your business. If you go too low, they get frustrated and they leave, right? So it's the challenge on the business owner side to be able to establish a place where people want to work, but not burn them out and not underpay them. Like that's the hardest part, which really, to be honest with you, comes down to your average visit rate. This is why we're so big on people charging what they're worth. It's not just because we want you to make more money. We want you to be able to hire people and pay them to have great jobs so that they don't have to work in one of these clinics that is just crushing them. So, you know, for people to get to that point, like if we look at the numbers on it, it's really not a ton of volume in order to get there. And it's funny because that number is kind of arbitrary. So many people's lives can be very different, what their expenses are, where they live, you know, if they have a family or not, you know, where, how much debt they have, many things, but for whatever reason, that number resonates with people. They're just like, it has to be this. And what's interesting to me is if people are able to use their skill set the way they want, and they can make that, let's say $100,000 a year, they're just like so much happier. They just are happy. They're just happier people. Right. And even if they just stop there, they're much happier than they are, you know, seeing 20 people a day that are all work comp and Medicare patients.
Yeah, no, 100%. Right. And you can do that, you know, when we've got the numbers pretty dialed in, right? Like we have these now, we're pushing into the 200s, right? And those are healthy numbers. We can start to pay our PTs that, right? They can earn the right to kind of get there, right? They may not get that at first as anything else, but like as they provide more value and as they are able to see patients, you can see 30 patients a week, right? And hit those numbers and still have a healthy business and be able to see the people that you want to see. Like that's an amazing place to be. Like why, you know, there's so much to dig into, right? It's honestly almost like too much just to not attack for an hour, right? But like, why aren't we doing that? Why are we not advocating for that, right? Like there's just going to continue to be two different sides of this story. One is high volume, hospital-based, you know, corporate companies, entities that are just going to pay people really poorly unless they're management. And then hopefully there's going to be these niche cash hybrid practices, businesses that are just willing to focus on quality instead, right? And like all we're trying to do is trying to get more people to jump on that, because the more of us there are, the more opportunities are going to be for, I think, a profession in general, you know, but also obviously for students and clinicians that are already out there. And just like, we've seen them 10, 15 years in too. It's not just new grads, right? It's like some of these people who are just like, you know, they had this plan. And could you imagine being in the profession for the past 20 years? I can only imagine, like, you know, for me, it's been 15 years at this point. So it's pretty dang close. The ups and downs that we've had and the reimbursement stuff that we're going through and the paperwork that's involved. Every time I talk to a PT and we're in the hiring process of like, they're spending weekends, nights doing paperwork.
Yeah.
They're, And they're honestly pretty upbeat sometimes. You're like, it's not that bad, but I can tell. You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to give into it, but like, they're worn out. They're seeing, even in a, you know, not a high volume practice, they're still not seeing the kind of patients they want to see. They're still, you know, having to do this paperwork. It's still not the environment that they thought they were going to go into when they graduated PT school, you know?
Yeah, dude, 100%. And if we look at just the paperwork side, like, we just hired a clinician that's starting, starting at the beginning of next month. Shout out to Sam. Just had his first kiddo, named him Jack. Smart guy. So you know, a director at a clinic. We talked to him, and you know, he was like, man, I'm spending like 2 hours every Saturday morning catching up on, you know, paperwork, which he had done, I think, for like 7 or 8 years, that he had been there. And, we started talking to him about our doc, like, just our paperwork and what we have to do. And he's like, well, how long does it usually take in a day? You know? And I'm like, I don't know, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, depends on how many people you see. Like, but we build these breaks in so you can do it while you're here. Yeah. So you don't have to do it when you go home. He's like, really? That's amazing. And it's just what we see as normal now, but I forget just how much, you know, paperwork there was to do. I mean, even to do when I was in the Army, do you think you have a lot of paperwork? Imagine the military's paperwork. Like, it's the amount of questionnaires we have to do and all this, it's crazy. And, you know, it's something that frustrates people, you know, and in some ways there's always going to be some sort of divide, right? Like, do you have bigger practices that are serving huge chunks of the population that are, you know, a lot of elderly, post-op, Medicaid, Medicare, work comp, you know, personal injury. Like, there's clinics that are specifically for personal injuries. Like, you know, it's not that we're saying that we want to work with everybody, but what we get a chance to do is you get to say, here's who I want to work with. Here's who I don't want to work with. You know, I haven't seen any work comp patients. I haven't seen any personal injury patients in 7 years. I haven't seen anybody like that because we don't want to work with them. So we turn them away. So we get a chance to say, you know, hey, this is who I want to work with. This is who's falling through the cracks. Mm-hmm. So now you have these, I wouldn't say like they're not super young, but younger population, younger to middle-aged population, that if they go to a hospital clinic, they're in the complete wrong place and they know it. Like, they're getting handouts of shuttle presses with a picture of a 75-year-old woman doing it. And they're like a 35-year-old man trying to run a 10K. Like, they're just like, this doesn't match up. Why are you giving me this? You know, this doesn't even seem like I'm in the right place. Versus if you had somebody like that come into our office, it would probably be similar. It'd be like, well, I'm in over my head. There's like barbells, like people are, you know, like everybody's kind of big, you know, what's going on. And, you know, so I think that there has to be a right place. And you get to choose that. You get to pick that. And ultimately here's what I boil this down to. You know, these are the two reasons why people are leaving to open practices, but what ends up happening is the number one reason that they continue to do it and they continue to deal with all the bullshit that, and I don't break this to you. Owning a business isn't easy. The shit's fucking hard, especially when you have employees that leave or you have to worry about insurance and tax season and all of this, like, am I filing everything correctly? And are all of my, you know, entities set up correctly? And, you know, like trademarks and all these other things that go into it. There's so many things that are not cool about owning a business that we deal with on a regular basis. But I tell you this much, I wouldn't trade it for anything. All the problems we deal with, they're at least I'll deal with these problems so that I can have freedom over what I do, who I do it with, and when I do it. Yeah. That is why people stay. That's why people deal with the bullshit that goes along with it. It's not why they get into it, because they don't even know that yet. They haven't even felt it. They haven't had a taste for it, but that's why they stay.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to work hard, right? Like, there's nothing like, we're like, oh, don't do paperwork. Don't work on the weekends. Like, no, that's not what we're saying, right? Like, you're going to have to work really hard, right? You just, for me, and I know for a lot of other people that decide to do this, is like, what am I working so hard for? That was another big driver for me, right? Yeah. So like, just like you said, you look at the person who's ahead of you, you look at the clinical manager or clinic manager, you look at the practice owner, you look at upper management and you're like, man, I don't want that job. So like, how difficult is that? I'm not that happy with my job right now. I'm not feeling like I'm using my skill set well. I'm not getting paid what I want to. When I do get paid what I want to, I'm going to be doing something that I like even less, right? Like, that's a terrible place to be. You know what I mean? And these passionate clinicians that want to work hard, right? Like I've got amazing PTs that work with me. Like they work harder than anybody I know, fitting in patients, you know what I mean? Doing things. I almost have to limit them, and the people that we work with, I have to limit them. I have to say, stop treating so many people. Do you mean, think about that. It's like, no, you're burning yourself out all over again because you're so excited about what you're doing. Like that's a way better place. And I'm burning myself out because I have to do this thing to get reimbursed by an insurance company. That's actually not going to benefit me now, later, or ever in the future. It's actually, you know, what's wrong with the profession? And I'm actually like feeding the beast here. Right. So like, I think there's just something to be said for that. Right. Because the secret ingredient to being like, I think an entrepreneur or being successful in business is being passionate about your craft. And all of you, maybe not all of you, most of you are super passionate about your craft. We can fill in the blanks everywhere else, right? There's businesses out there trying to start business, do these things. They could care less about what they're doing. We care so much about what we're doing. We have this strong desire to help people, and we limit ourselves every day, every week. And I talk to PTs and they're like, I'm not sure. Like, stop it, right? Like you need to start doing this, right? Like you do not, there's no reason that these barriers to entry need to be in place. Like it's almost, it gets very frustrating for me sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Cause I'm like, it's right there for the taking. Literally just start. I promise. Like just go start.
Oh, well there's going to be, you know, 5 years from now, there'll be twice as many, if not more, practices like ours, you know, around. I mean, there's five times as many around me, you know, as there were 7 years ago, you know, so it might even be more than that. And I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to start to see many, many more of these more niche-based practices that are deciding that they want to be great with runners, or they want to be great with yogis, or they want to just work with youth athletes, or whatever it is that they do. Like that's who they want to work with. And then to your point, I think that, you know, you really look at, I think what's so fascinating and seems so mentally engaging about things like your own business, especially in the clinical world, is I feel like progression is the key. Progression in something is the key to fulfillment, you know, in terms of career satisfaction and just terms of engagement. And the people that are, it's the same every day, it starts to become mundane. It's, you know, monotonous and boring. And then they, you know, they start to care a little bit less, and they don't put as much effort into progressing, because why, you know, it's like, these people don't even want to get better. So why would I do that? I see this in the government world all the time. You want to know why GS employees are the way that they are? You want to know why the people at the fucking DMV are not the nicest people to deal with? Because they answer stupid questions all day. They can't change anything, even if they wanted to, because there's so much red tape, and they do the same thing every day. It's Groundhog's Day for them. Yeah. That's why they're not necessarily the happiest people. Not to say everybody, I'm sure there's a happy person working at the DMV somewhere, but a lot of these, you know, individuals are just, they're just doing the same thing repetitively over and over and over again. And it starts to become frustrating, you know? So in our profession, the nice thing is we constantly can learn. Like, I don't care how good of a clinician you think you are. You don't know everything. You're not as good as you could be. And you can get better. And if you do know a lot, then start teaching other people. And there's a whole other challenge associated with that. You know, there's like so many things you can do to keep yourself motivated and interested in what you're working on. And when you line up a business with that provides for your family and gives you a whole nother skill set that you're going to get a chance to learn. This is why we see people, they're working their butt off, right? They're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week sometimes as they're getting started, but they have more energy than they do working 40 hours for somebody else doing something they don't want to do. And that's what's so crazy. It's like you're working twice as much, but you have more energy. You're more fulfilled. You have more, you know, to give to your family whenever you're home versus you're working 40 hours for somebody else and you're taking a nap every day when you get home because you're so tired or so over it. So the freedom side and like where you can take that could be as much or as little as you want. It could be just replacing your income. That could be what you decide you want to do. It could be like what Eve and I have done, where we've decided to kind of scale past ourselves and grow businesses, you know, where we have multiple people involved. It could be huge. It could be, it could be software. It could be, you know, anything that you want that helps the profession. You're solving problems. It's just a matter of how creative you are and how many problems can you solve.
Yeah. I remember like a distinct moment. You know, I'm working day to day at my, you know, private practice job, pre-cash PT. And my neighbor was like always home. he was like there when I left, there when I came back. And he had like this flexible job where he kind of worked from home. And I was like super jealous of that. And I remember this distinct thought, like, I'll never be able to do that. Never. Like, I'll never be able to work from home. I'll never have this flexibility. Like, I remember that exact thought, right? And here I am, obviously, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years later, where I've been able to create something totally different. And I think that's the hardest thing for people to get over mentally, is like, this can't change, right? Because it's very difficult to see the other side if you're literally in the mix and you're surrounded by people who say this can't be done or who don't believe that this can be done, right? And that's why we're doing what we're doing. Like, you know, we're going to pump out these interviews. We're going to pump out the social proof. We're going to pump out talking about it because, you know, it is possible. And, you know, everybody needs to hear something different at a certain time to get there. And I'm just going to make sure that I'm there to say that thing that finally says, okay, I guess I'll try this thing. Let's see how it is on the other side. Let me go start this side hustle, right? And we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks of how to actually start that and be successful at that, right? Because it's, you know, and I say this all the time, it's easy. It is easy to just start the side hustle and just see how it goes, right? Like, it's pretty easy to do that.
Dip your toe in the water. Yeah, you can, you totally can. And I think that, you know, you bring up with your neighbors, interesting, because I primarily work from home now. And to be honest with you, I miss the clinical environment. You know, like, I actually really enjoy that environment. I don't think it's that people necessarily want to be fully out of it. I think what they want is not to be so tied to a, like, this super strict schedule that they can't even pick their kid up if they want to, right? And I think that's what's, like, so unique about this, is you get a chance to dictate. Like, I don't see, let's say, like, I don't see people at 9 o'clock because I drop my kid off at 8:30. And I want to make sure to do that. That's important to me. So you build your schedule around that. People will see you at whenever you want them to see you. Like, if you hold to that, because I think if you're just constantly like, oh yeah, I'll make this exception for whatever, like, you can't do that. You have to say, this is what I want my life to look like. And I had somebody that described this equation for happiness to me, I thought was interesting, which is what you're talking about. And it's, you take your wants and you divide it by, or you take your haves and you divide them by your wants. And you know, the less wants you have and the more haves you have, the happier you're going to be. So, you know, if you're constantly just like, oh man, I wish I made more money, or oh, I wish I was working in this environment, or I wish I, you know, whatever, like, you're going to be an unhappy person because you're constantly just like comparing yourself to something else instead of saying, okay, what do I have? And then what can I work towards in order to make that reality? Because you're right. I didn't think, you know, I'd be working from, or have an opportunity to work from home as a clinician ever. Is evolved to that. It didn't happen overnight. Or even just, let's just say you just don't want to work on Fridays, right? Let's just say, like, dude, let's just say you want to go golfing every Friday morning with your dad that is retired. All right. Let's say that's your freaking goal. That is not that hard to do. And build your schedule around it. You have to understand what you have to prioritize, or what's important to prioritize first. And what most people do is they don't even know that. They have no clue what's important to them or who's important to them, because they never think about it, because they're too busy bitching and wondering what they should have and what they wish they had, instead of actually figuring out how they can define it first and then just go build it. Go build it for yourself. It's there. Like, it's freaking there. And not only that, like, think about this. My grandfather, he's 96, right? I'm going to go see him. Two weeks. He's seen a whole bunch of crazy shit. World War II, Korean War, Great Depression. Like, he's seen everything. I remember him telling me about not wanting to take credit cards when credit cards came out, because he was managing a hotel. And he was like, no, you pay me cash, because this is just plastic, right? Like, he's seen all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, I think that what most people, you know, don't really keep as an account of what they should or shouldn't be doing, is that my grandfather's done a lot. No one's going to remember him besides us or his immediate family in 50 years. No one's going to remember him. And he's done a lot of cool shit. So whatever you decide to do, you do that shit for yourself and your family at this point. That's it. Like, don't think, oh, well, we'll have this legacy or whatever it might be. Like, dude, define what is going to make you happy, who's going to fulfill your life around you the most, and then go and do it. Don't worry about everything else, because frankly, nobody's going to remember what you and I do 100 years from now. It's just not going to happen. So just make the decisions that are going to be the best for you, your family. Define that first, and then build the vehicle that's going to get you there.
Yeah, no, well said, well said. I feel like it's a perfect moment, right? Like, if you're in a job right now where you've got 2 weeks paid vacation, you don't have any flexibility. You know, you're working 40 hours a week plus, right? And there's no end in sight, right? I still think that's the most frustrating part for people. It's like, yeah. I'm seeing patients and like, as a PT, you know, it wasn't that I needed to work from home. It was the fact that like in 20 years, I'll be doing the same thing, right? Like there's no change, right? So like, if you want to change, and I think that's the big thing, right? If you want to change and flexibility and be able to like provide as much value as possible, the flexibility to do that and change that and get paid really well for it, I think, you know, now's the time to do it. So, you know, for anybody's listening, just type in game plan in the comments. We've got one of our team members that'll reach out to you, kind of discuss what a game plan could be moving forward.
Yeah, simple as that. If you're thinking about it, let's chat. You know, it's totally free. You know, we can give you a better idea of what's the next best step, right? Maybe it's a free resource that we can share with you, or, you know, connect you with somebody else that can help as well. You know, and it's happening. And I think you got to keep in mind, like what's occurred around me, what's occurring around Eve. Like there's a few great opportunities I think people get in their life. And it's just a matter of whether you take advantage of it or you don't. And, you know, as we see the progression of this, we're as abundance mindset, you know, people as we can be. It's hard sometimes, but we try to work towards that as much as we can. And, you know, the landscape is going to continue to get more challenging the longer you wait to decide, do you want to do something as well? Because there's going to be more and more people that are moving that direction, and there's going to be more options available, which means, you know, I think it's a really good thing because it's going to increase competition, which is going to drive out people that shouldn't be there. And it's going to allow people that are really good at what they do to thrive and continue to grow, you know, capitalize on those opportunities. But it's a lot easier whenever you're around fewer people to get started, to grow and to scale and to sustain that, than when there's five times as many people that are quality, you know, individuals, that are quality providers. And it's not like this is in the bottom of the barrel that's starting to do this. Like these are great clinicians that are fed up, and they're moving on to do their own thing. So like Eve said, type in the comments, game plan. We'll have one of our team members reach out to you and set something up and chat and see what you're doing, see what we could potentially help you with, and see, you know, what we might be able to facilitate in terms of, you know, next steps for you to get this thing up and running and or grow it. Because for a lot of you, you may have something and you may hate it because you don't know what the hell you're doing. You're not charging enough money. You're not making enough to leave your side hustle. So now you're working two different jobs and you're probably time poor as hell. And we see this all the time. We had somebody that was doing this. He's still seeing 20 patients a week right now, home health, but he's now seeing 25 people a week in his cash practice and is just like crushing it, but it's super time poor. And like and his wife's about to have a kid. That's why he's still hanging out there for like the next couple of weeks, but he's about to leave. But like, that's where we take people that are stuck for months. And then we help them actually grow to where they're double, tripling, quadrupling what they're doing on their side hustle. And they're getting ready to hire somebody else. And that is a monthly occurrence. Like this isn't like one person. This is, you know, we at this point, you know, we're continually working with 100 within our mastermind. So a lot of reps there, a lot of people that are doing the right things, and a lot of information to share to make it better. So that's it, man. Anything to finish on?
No, I mean, I think you hit it on the head. I really love the analogy of like most people here, their clinical skills are 8, 9 out of 10, right? And they feel like their business, sales, and marketing skills are 2 out of 10. And I think that's typically the biggest difference maker. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's the easiest thing you can work on right now that's going to give you the best likelihood of success. And it'll definitely get more important, right? You see this with gyms right now, right? Like the gyms that survived the pandemic are the ones that had good business marketing, you know, and good processes in place, right? So that's what we want for you. We want you to build a business that you can eventually scale beyond yourself or eventually do something else with, right? Like that's what we want for you. Yeah. So, you know, those are things that we need to focus on. You need to be really clear. Promise me. It's hard.
But and if you're not learning it, like here's what always irritated me. You know, you could have people that are less, you know, not as good of a clinician as you. They don't care about people as much as you do. Like they just want a profitable business. This shit drives me fucking crazy. Like when I see anybody that's like this, like you just found a market opportunity and you decided I could make money here. That's the vast majority of entrepreneurs that I have actually had a chance to meet.
Right.
That's it. I mean, and that's their thing. Like they find, oh, I thought I could print t-shirts and I could make a lot of money doing it. Like, okay, that's your thing, like go for it. But like, that's not us. Like this, I don't do this shit because I think it's the greatest opportunity. In fact, this is probably quite possibly the most challenging audience to work with because you're all broke as shit with a bunch of debt. You're risk averse. You don't trust anybody. And we're fucking minting six-figure practices every other week over here. And it's hard to even get anybody to realize that it's possible because you don't even think it's the truth, right? That's so, you know, when you were passionate about something, you deserve to win. You deserve to be better than that person that just has some funding that thinks that they can open a practice or a massage therapy clinic or whatever it might be, or a gym, and they just think there's an opportunity to make more money. And that is super, super frustrating. So if you're a great clinician, you're doing yourself a disservice by not learning how to market and sell, because you're letting people that care less than you win. You're letting people that care less than you take the clients that you should be helping, that you can help, that oftentimes they can't help, and then they end up having to see you anyway. So if you're not doing it, you have to understand you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting all these other people that you should be working with. You're hurting the people you should be hiring because you have something special, but you're not capitalizing on the thing that is the foundational side of a business that's going to let you really accelerate your ability to share that with as many people as possible. And that's frankly, it's sad. And I hope it doesn't happen to people, but it happens all the time because a fear of giving up a paycheck, a fear of going out on their own, a fear of how do I find health insurance? Like all these things that we worry about on the entrepreneurial side, on taking care of our family. These are all things that are, my friend always says, figure outable, like not a big deal. We know how to do those things. Like people do them all the time. You have to get over the mental hurdle of what that looks like and understand it's not just about dry needling somebody's back better. It's not about teaching them how to squat better. You already know that stuff. It's about understanding how to get your message out, how to sell, how to market ethically, effectively, and build a team around you so you can grow something really, really impactful and cool.
Yeah. All we see is untapped potential. We see, you know, $1 billion market for performance-based cash PTs. And all we need is more people to go that route, like day in, day out. It's there, right? Like you, exactly. We have the information. And I know us as PTs are frustrated when they choose surgery, they choose, you know, a different clinician, or they choose to do nothing, right? Like, yes, it's our moral obligation to do this. I hate when a great clinician is just being used and abused in a totally different market and their skills, like when I know they could kill it somewhere else. It's just so much untapped potential out there from our entire profession, right? And yeah, it's not easy, right? This is not, you know, the most glamorous thing to do, which is just day in, day out, just like, you know, keep knocking on the door. But guess what? I'm going to be persistent. 5-10 years from now, I'm still going to be doing these live streams. You know what I mean? Like I'm still going to be putting out content, trying to get people to come over here and say, all right, let's do this, right? Until it's so saturated, do you know what I mean? Which will never happen, that like there's a cash-based clinician on every freaking corner. Like there is a gym. Let's do it.
Better over here. It's this. Come over to the side. It's better.
The water's great. It's warm.
All right. Hey, we'll wrap it up, guys. Thanks so much for watching and for listening on the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. As always, we will catch you guys next week. Have a great weekend. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside of that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT entrepreneur. And we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.